up.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I'm going to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Oh, we have got so much to get to today, but before that, we need to look back at what happened over the weekend.
Hops beautifully, Maddox for Gordon! New South Wales go bang inside the first three.
There's an intercept.
All over.
And here he goes, Joey Manu. He's all over the halfway line. Oh. He's over the 20. They're coming at him, but he's got his winger in support.
Yeah.
Now that Martini's a left out.
Walker gets it back to Latrell. Latrell kicks it.
There we go.
Chased through by Alex Johnson.
Yeah.
Johnson gets there, dives over the line. And finally, the Indigenous boys get a try.
Make it nine for Novak. A flawless display in the final.
Yeah, what an epic weekend of sport, Liam. That was from the Aussie Open to the All-Star game up in Townsville. It was fantastic. I love the game. I thought it was the spirit of the game was fantastic. The war cries before the game were just... inspirational. The one thing I have on the game that I thought they should have done was played extra time. I didn't like the 10-hole draw. That's why I'm sick of draws.
Game deserved a winner.
We've evolved. We've evolved.
Couldn't agree more. The game deserved a winner. Just delightful to hear the dulcet tones of Anthony Maroon and Wendell Saylor calling that game. The Charity Shield this weekend as well. We get to hear more footy. MG, today is one of those days where we need an extra hour.
We need an extra 2 hours.
There is so much to get to today. We've got to talk Latrell's new deal. We've got to talk Trbojevic's another hamstring injury to Tommy Turbo. Can you believe it? Manly Seagulls want to, the Northern Beaches residents want another have another bubble. They don't want to leave their houses after the news. Yeah. And we've got another spot to give away on our golf day.
Second last spot. Tomorrow's our last little slot into our game at golf at Liverpool, so stay tuned.
You've got to be in it to win it. But up next, Tom Trbojevic. The question is, when did he do it?
Yes, there's some footage floating around, isn't there? Not flattering.
Getting into that next. Rush Hour with MG.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG. 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam Flanagan on Triple M. Your chance.
I thought that was you singing then.
Your chance to join us at Liverpool Golf Club for our golf day coming up very shortly. But MG, we need to do this.
Trending now.
Before we get to Tom Trbojevic, Sam Burgess. It's a sharp descent for the man who was once the star of rugby league. He has been arrested this afternoon for failing a roadside drug test. He has been arrested and charged for a variety of traffic offences. He's due to face court on May 4th. That's also coupled with him being found guilty of intimidating his father-in-law the other week. So Sam Burgess' off-field woes continue. We'll put a pin in that one. Tom Trbojevic, this is the story of the day. Now, this is Tom who, for the 2 years ago, rewind MG, 2 years ago, at the beginning of the 2019 season, this man was the rising star of the NRL.
He was the king.
He was the king.
He's had a wretched 18 months. He's had pec injuries. He's had shoulder injuries. He's had hamstring injuries. And it's like his body's been held together by sticky tape at the moment, because now he's had a shower and he slipped in the shower and done his hamstring.
Well, he fronted the press today at 11 o'clock and spoke about his latest injury.
Do apologise to all the members that I won't be out there playing footy on early this year. It's a pretty embarrassing one to actually say, but just waking up yesterday morning, I've slipped over in the bathroom and just felt it go. So yeah, it's pretty hard to say. It's a pretty hard one to take, but yeah. It is a bit rattling. It's not something that you want to be dealing with. And considering the history over the past couple of years, it doesn't make it any easier. But at least I know I've been here before. I know what I have to do to get right again. And I'll just have to go and do that.
So it's a grade 2 tear on the hamstring that he didn't injure previously. So it's the other side of the body.
The good one.
Now, that happened at 11 o'clock today in front of the media. And then a couple of hours later, we started seeing various media outlets, Michelle Bishop at Channel 7 and Danny Wilder at Channel 9, this footage of Tom Trbojevic over the weekend, late at night, having a running race against a punter down Manly Corso. So he's been essentially now forced to defend that, no, I did injure it in the bathroom. I didn't injure it racing this bloke.
Well, you've got to listen to, I suppose, the man in question, and that is Tommy Turbo. I believe him. I've got no reason not to. That it is coincidental that the footage is emerging of him having a race and the night before at the Corso. It might have, you know, stretched it a little bit. Who knows? The plot will thicken, obviously. And Tommy will probably have to come and have another press conference to say that, you know, this isn't... I'm telling the truth. But yeah, look, let's go back to the actual him being out of Manly for a second. That's shattering. You know, when Tommy Turbo plays, they win 75% of their games. When he doesn't, they win 30%. They won 3 out of 10 last year without him. And it's just he's probably the single most important player to a team in the competition. You even take Tedesco out of the Roosters, they wouldn't be that badly hampered by if Tommy Turbo's out of Manly. That's, you know, Tommy Turbo out of Manly is basically, that's bad news for them. That's bad news for a month or for a quarter of the season. They're going to start off on the back foot. Means that someone like Tevita Funa or Brad Parker or Garrick or Croker or someone, or John Schuster, someone's got to fill the void. Maybe Dylan Walker might switch back to fullback. Who knows? But all I know is that they're not Tom Turbo.
That is a damning statistic, isn't it? That without him, they lost 70% of games last season. The estimated recovery time for this injury sees him missing the first four games, but given his history and given his body, it would be surprising if he only missed four games.
Yeah, it would be. But as he said in that press conference, he's been here, done that, and that is one advantage that he'll have in fighting the hamstring problem, but... Yeah, look, Manly, Desi Hasler at the moment, he'd be in a world of pain, I would imagine, and most Manly fans would be as well.
And I'm with you. I believe we've spoken with Tom a lot on this program. When he says that's not when he hurt the hamstring, I believe him as well, if that's what he says. But people would see that footage and think, come on, Tom, what are you doing?
Yeah, and they'll put the timeline together, and we out having a few beers. Who's the bloke you raced? Then we want to know who the bloke you raced. And the bloke in the video said, Johnny just beat Turbo. He's quicker than Turbo. So we want to put all these jigsaw puzzles together.
Why are you getting beaten by punters?
That's
Tommy,
Desi might be worried about that.
Desi might be signing up Harry from the video. Hey, the other question I want to ask quickly, we've got to get onto Latrell Mitchell signing news. Tom Trbojevic, he turns 25 in October. Producer Charlie actually made this comparison when we were planning the show today. Matt Moylan was at a very similar stage of his career when he just got struck down by injuries, and we have never seen Matt Moylan at that same level since.
No, it's actually coincidentally, I was with his brother yesterday, Matty Moylan's brother, and that's another story for another day. And yeah, Matty Moylan, good comparison. Matty Moylan from Penrith, when he just ruled the airways basically for so long at Penrith, and as soon as he's gone to the Cronulla, injury after injury, and we haven't seen him at his clinical best at all. So let's hope that Tommy Turbo doesn't go down the same road, because he is so vital to Manly's chances of winning any game. They need him badly. They need Tommy back on the field badly.
And into their salary cap as well. They've committed to him in a big, big way. Now, the other big story of the day, which amazingly has been overshadowed, Latrell Mitchell has signed a new deal with the South Sydney Rabbitohs. He's added an extra 2 years, so he will be there till the end of the 2023 season. It's reported that it's worth about $850 a year. How do you think that's worked out for both parties?
I think it's right on point. I know that, you know, Latrell, obviously after his last hamstring injury, there's a lot of eyes on him on Saturday night when he played in the All-Star game, and I think he came through with flying colours. And look, with him healthy at South Sydney, they're the premiership favourites, in my opinion.
And I think
they're the team to beat.
The thing with Latrell is we're always going to see it this time of year when everyone goes, oh, he doesn't look fit.
He's always like this.
He gets footy
body ready by round one. That's all you got to worry about.
That's it. And then you want him flying come round 16, round 17.
That's right.
You want
him in that. Not the first trial. You don't want the first trial to be, you know, Latrell cut up and, you know, six pack.
Absolutely not. Well, look. Fingers crossed for Tom Trbojevic's recovery. It's fantastic news for people in the borough with Latrell sticking around for an extra 2 years.
Yeah, great news.
Up next, we do have to talk some tennis, MG.
He's good, isn't he, the Joker?
He's good, and I think
you're
he's
not going to call him the GOAT.
No, he's definitely not the GOAT. No. But he's good, but is he likeable?
No, he's not. But every movie needs a villain.
Novak Djokovic is the Australian Open champion. His record 9th triumph at the tournament.
Yeah. Freakish.
It's quite remarkable. We're going to get to the details of that next. And Naomi Osaka, the women's champion, she is likeable. Very likeable. We're going to get to her victory as well over the weekends. The Rush Hour with MG and Liam, Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
Foo Fighters on the Rush Hour with MG, Liam Flanagan on Triple M. Coming up before 7 o'clock, MG's ladder continues his predictions for the season ahead. Today, a Sydney team to finish 11th.
I had to change it. I was going to have Manly. I was going to put them in today, but I thought, no, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, but it's another Sydney team.
Find out who it is just before 7 o'clock, but we need to do this.
Trending now.
Make it 9 for Novak. A flawless display in the final.
Novak Djokovic, simply too strong last night for Russian Daniil Medvedev, knocking him off in straight sets, MG. Fairly boring final, really.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Just too clinical. He is such a great tennis player. He's just such a great tennis player. He's, as I said before the break, and, you know, what, he's hard to like. He is hard to like. I'll admit that. But, again, what I said, every movie needs their villain, and he's definitely the villain. He plays the villain beautifully.
I wouldn't want to have a beer with the bloke, but if you wanted someone to win a tennis game for you, he'd probably be first on the list.
Didn't you say he partied over in that tournament he had with his shirt off and that? You sure you wouldn't have a beer with him?
Well, no, because he does it in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah, true.
You know, I'd rather have a red wine over Zoom with Nick. Novak Novak responded to, I mean, clearly there is some negative attention his way, and he responded to the haters in his press conference.
Yeah, of course it hurts. I mean, I'm a human being like yourself, like anybody else. You know, I have emotions. I don't enjoy when somebody attacks me, you know, and I cannot say I don't care about it or whatever, you know. But I think I've developed a thick skin over the years to, you know, dodge those things and focus on what matters to me the most.
And now I feel bad for saying I wouldn't have a beer with him.
Yeah, no, look, it's... He's temperamental, I suppose, but when you're as good as he is, and when you've won a record 9th Aussie Open, I mean, you know, you've just got to give the guy kudos. And he's part of this big three that just has been a pleasure to watch over the last 15 years. You know, Roger, Rafa, and him just dominated tennis like no other era I've ever seen in my life, and then the stats will back me up on that.
It's quite incredible. And that was his 18th Grand Slam victory. He now sits just 2 Grand Slam behind Rafa and Roger, so it's quite remarkable the era that we're living in, when you throw Andy Murray into that as well. Naomi Osaka, we do have to mention as well, she played the women's final on Saturday night, defeated American Jennifer Brady, also in straight sets. But this is the comment from her press conference. She was asked what she wanted to achieve next, or what was still on her list to achieve in the sport.
Hopefully I play long enough to play a girl that said that I was once her favorite player or something. For me, I think that's the coolest thing that could ever happen to me. I have those feelings of, you know, watching my favorite players. Unfortunately, I didn't get to play Li Na, but I just think that that's how the sport moves forward.
I love that sentiment from Naomi.
Oh, she's a delight. The way she conducts herself, the way she kind of is almost apologetic upon victory. You know, and I happened to basically once my first ever first grade game, which probably isn't documented. They say that I played my first grade game in 1987, but in 1986, I sat on the bench for first grade after playing under 23s, then reserve grade, then first grade, and was at Parramatta Stadium. And I got to play against Mick Cronin and Ray Price. And I said, my goodness, I used to watch these guys on, you know, Cumberland Oval Hill behind the grandstand with my dad, having ice creams out of the hot ice box and watching them. And now I'm about to run out the field and play against them. And yeah, that's kind of what I would have said to them. These, you know, that same thing as Osaka, that you're going to play against someone one day who wants to be, who loves you. And I love Ray Price and Mick Cronin. They were my dad's favourite players, so they were mine as well.
What would Mick Cronin have said to you if you'd gone, oh, Mick, you're my favourite player growing up. I loved you.
Piss off, mate. We've got a game to win here.
It's the Rush Hour with MJ and Liam, Triple M. All right, 133-53. You want to join us on the T-Block Liverpool Golf Club? Give us a call now.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam Flanagan on Triple M. MG, tomorrow is the final spot on our golf day.
Oh, who's it going to go to? Lucky last, but very lucky.
And if the boards are any indication, it is going to be, we should bank people. We should put them in a ring.
Come on, man.
Like the scene in The Joker. No, we won't do that. We'll just tell you to call tomorrow. Yes. Now, your ladder coming up next. You're going to tell us which team finishes 11th. I believe we're looking at a Sydney team today.
We certainly are, yes.
Well, the Dragons, you have predicted to finish 15th this season, and they've got some more bad news. Corey Norman, who was involved in a street fight on Friday evening, January 22nd in Cronulla, he's been handed a $20,000 fine by the NRL in a breach notice. $20,000 fine plus a 2-game suspension, with one of those games suspended for 12 months. So he's going to be missing round one. That was announced on Saturday.
Very, very harsh. Very harsh. And if he doesn't appeal it, he's crazy.
Has announced today that they will be appealing it. For those that don't remember when the incident happened, YKTR, which is Corey Norman's business, along with James Seguiaro and Isaac John, they put out a statement basically saying that James Seguiaro was racially abused. Corey was standing up for his friend. There was a scuffle. Corey was blindsided. Someone threatened to pull a knife. Those are the details from their side of things, which... You said at the time, MG, you would have done the same thing.
I would have done the same thing. In fact, I think it's time. We haven't done this for a while. I feel like. Oh, come on, man. Come on. I'm getting hot under the collar. Here we go. Okay. I'm the first to admit that Corey Norman's reputation does precede him. But $20,000 fine and a 2-game suspension for basically sticking up for a mate. Come on. That's way, way over the top. I worry about these sanctions, that we're getting a little bit carried away with them. You know what? I agree on the crackdown, Liam, on the off-field indiscretions, but we can't lock our footballers up 24/7 and expect them to have no life away from footy at all.
Come on, man.
It's just this incident with James Seguiaro, it's a pure case of self-defense, if I've seen it. If you can't defend yourself or a mate when you're threatened or under attack, well, when can you?
Man,
when can you? I obviously they were targeted by a group who clearly wanted some trouble. There was apparently four of them and two of these guys, and they targeted the duo as well as outnumbering them. So if I'm feeling threatened about my own safety, it doesn't matter if I'm a footballer or a bloke walking down the street, I'm going to do something about it if I can.
Come on, man.
I'm not going to just sit there and take it. And I think Corey Norman did that. He said that at the top of this break, that he heard what they said about James Seguiaro, and he went to his mate's aid, and they had a street fight. There's 4-on-2, and I for the life of me, I think every man listening to this chat would do the same thing. If someone's walking down the road and you're walking the other way with you and your mate and a couple of friends, and all of a sudden from nowhere someone says, "Hey, you," and calls your names, what are you going to just say? "Yeah, mate, thanks for that. See you later." Come on.
Come on, man.
Come on. Yeah, I mean, I've really loved the transition with Volandis and Abdo. I've loved what they've done. But this one is just going a little bit over the top. Just a little bit over the top. He doesn't deserve it. He hasn't brought the game into disrepute. He defended a mate. And if he didn't defend his mate, we'll all be calling him a you-know-what for running the other way. So he's damned if he does and he's damned if he don't. So in this instance, Corey, I think you've done the right thing, mate, and I'd be appealing till the cows come home.
Come on, man.
There you go. Well, we will keep you posted on the Dragon and Corey Norman's appeal of that suspension. But for now, Corey Norman unavailable for round one, plus $20,000 poor in the hip pocket. This is the Rush Hour with MG and Liam. Triple M. MG's ladder continues next. A Sydney team he thinks will finish 11th. Find out who it is next.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam Flanagan on Triple M. MG's ladder is progressing along. I tell you what, it's going gangbuster, MG. It's fairly popular on the downloads.
I'm hoping to get to the top 8 soon so I don't cut. I'll stop copying all this backlash from disgruntled fans. You wanker, Gaia. Fancy having our team down there. It's only my opinion, guys. It's only my opinion.
Well, get ready, Sydney fans, because another one of your teams is coming up today.
The ladder. Ladder. MG's ladder.
Yep, we make our way to number 11 today on the ladder, and this team came 15th last year and avoided the wooden spoon. I'm glad they did, because they didn't deserve it. I speak of the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. Mm. Look, all eyes will be on Trent Barrett and his new-look Bulldogs in 2021. There's a fill of expectation, Liam, I think, with at Belmore, and I'm really keen to see how they'll go this season. I just think that was kind of out with the old and with the new. You know, Suaso Sue and Ramus Smith went to Melbourne and Kerrod Holland retired. Kieran Fornan's gone to Manly. Montoya's gone. Tolman's gone. Cogger's gone. Laffey's gone. And you know, in comes, obviously, Trent Barrett. He's the big signing as the coach. A lot of pressure on him to try and replicate what he did at Penrith last year with their attack. Nick Kotrick was the guy who started the Avalanche. He was the first signing, major signing. And then some real fresh faces, Kyle Flanagan, Corey Waddell from Manly, Jack Hetherington from Penrith, and last but not least, Corey Allen from the South Sydney Rabbitohs. So they've recruited beautifully.
I'm really excited to see how Kyle Flanagan goes at the Bulldogs. Yeah. I know there was a lot of discussion about him towards the end of the season when the deal was originally done because of the way he ended at the Roosters, but I'm really excited to see how he will go somewhat out of the spotlight of the Roosters, out of the Bondi glare, but now with the expectation of basically steering a team around the park by himself, or not by himself, but, you know, having the reins.
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? And you know what? When you're a halfback, you are never not under pressure, no matter which club you play for. And the fact that he has gone from the Roosters to the Doggies and with a noted half himself as his coach, and look what he did last year with the Penrith halves, in particular Luai, who's come of age. Look, number six could be a worry for them. At the moment, it's out of probably Wakeham and Avarillo, who's got an injury. But I believe Avarillo was training most of the off-season at number six, and okay. I like him there. I don't mind him there. So, but look, their pack is good. They've got a really good pack, the Doggies. Hetherington, that man I speak of. Marshall King around dummy half with Sione Katoa coming off the bench probably. Luke Thompson, the Pommy, the Englishman. He went under the radar last year because of, you know, the COVID stuff, and he was in isolation for so long, and he joined him later in the year, but I think he's going to be really good for the run. And the back row of Josh Jackson, Raymond Fire, Tyler Mariner, and Adam Elliott is as good as any in the competition. So I expect good things from their pack. And their back is being bolstered, Liam, with Allen and Kotrick in that back line. Yeah. So, yeah, they've recruited well. I think, you know, they're going to be closer to the eight than to the bottom of the field, put it that way.
For all the fantastic recruitment, MG, the latest bit of news obviously is a negative one, the off-field incident involving Adam Elliott and Michael Leisha. For those who missed it over the weekend, Elliott issued a public apology. He hasn't been punished by the club. Obviously, he'll have some work to do behind closed doors to mend the relationships, but no official punishment from the Bulldogs. He will seek professional help for his own alcohol issues. So that's something that club is going to have to work through. We don't expect to see Matt Burton there. It looks like the ship has sailed on the idea of him joining early.
Penrith won't let him go. No.
But Bulldogs to finish 11th. All right, MG, it's an improvement. It's a movement up the ladder, and you get the sense that with Addo Carr and Burton arriving next season, they want to establish the foundations and integrate those new backs, as you mentioned, into this team nice and smoothly.
Yeah, they do, and I think they will. Again, Trent Barrett will be on notice because he's a first-grade coach now, not the assistant coach, so no one really pays much attention to the assistant coaches, and all the blame and praise goes to the man with a whistle, and that's the main man. So I hope he goes well.
Actually, he was spotted chatting to Nathan Cleary on the weekend at a game.
Yeah, maybe Dylan Edwards at some areas.
Just whispering sweet nothings into the ears of the boys.
I think he was saying,
"Jeez, you look good.
What are your new moves?
Jeez, you look good. You'd look good in blue and white, Nathan. You'd look real good in blue and white."
Well, he did go to St. Dominic's High School, which play in blue and white jerseys. So there's the 6 degrees of separation. You heard me first.
I love it. Penrith fans are just going, what? That is all from us today. Tomorrow, this is it, MG. We've only got two spots left on the T block for our golf day.
Wow. That's gone quick. Well, you want to be listening tomorrow because that's your last chance.
My DMs are open for bribery, by the way.
Yes.
Just slide on in.
Huge bribes.
At LJ Flanners on Instagram. Just slide on in. We'll see what we can sort out.
As always, thank you so much for your ears. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.